following podcast is brought to you by the Communications and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. I'm DJ Moco, and this is Creasing Corners. Grab a drink, get cozy, and get ready to read between the lines. Welcome back. It's episode 7. Today, we have a very special guest, Carol Emery, author of Sun on the Run. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Carol Emery, and I wrote this book, Sun on the Run.
Do you want to explain a little bit what your book's about? I know what it's about, but I think we could get the perfect response from the author.
The book is about a brilliant young man who was really brilliant. He got a 99% grade on his medical college exam, and he lived a wonderful life until he was 17 years old, and he ended up with paranoid schizophrenia. First, they diagnosed him as bipolar, but it turned out to be paranoid schizophrenia.
This story was much different from what we discussed last week. Last week was a fiction novel. This week, it's something more serious, and I think is a very important topic that we discuss on this podcast, because at the end of the day, it is a book, and we talk about books here. When I read this book over the summer, I felt like this is the first time I've read something super serious and intimate, because I know you. I've read a lot of books that have been very serious and about wars and about and other memoirs, but because I personally know you and I've worked with you, this was a different kind of feeling when I read it. And I even gave it to my mom and I said, you'd really like this. And she did. And she just had so much to say about it. And we have a lot to talk about. I want to dive into my first question. Throughout your book, I wondered how you masterfully described every location without actually being there. I know nearing the end of the book, you and your son go on a walk, and he tells you everything about his travels. Is that how you managed to describe it, or did you take some creative liberty and tried your own thing?
Yes, I spent 7 months with him at the very end. I created the book out of memories of Facebook that he had sent me and texts that he had sent me. And when he was well, he sent a lot of those texts. And so that was how I managed to write the creative. I also wrote a lot of creative areas, because his walk through the Israel-Lebanon border, he didn't ever discuss that, and he kept it secret, and I had to use my imagination from movies that I've seen and stories that I've heard from other people. So I definitely was creative with my memoir, and it is actually called a creative memoir.
Because of your detailed descriptions, and this is more about the writing aspect, what is your favorite part about the figure of language that you use in the imagery? What do you think is your strong suit when it comes to creativity?
I don't know. Creativity just seems to come to me in the form of words. I don't read well. I don't draw that well. But for some reason, I get words in my head, and they just come out. And so a lot of the creativity is from my own envisioning what was actually going on at the time that he was traveling.
So that your creative process, your writing process, I know that nearing the end of your editor going through this, you just wrote it and you're like, I want it out. Was this because you were a fast writer and you just also wanted to obviously get your story out? Or would you say that you put so much effort into it that you just couldn't go through an editor? You're like, I need to get this out because I think it's perfect.
Yeah, I wanted to get it out sooner than my editor wanted. I got very anxious and like anxiety ridden that it wasn't out for some reason. It was really important for me to share the book with other people. And that brings me to the subject of editing. Editing is not just parentheses and periods, and editing is restructuring the sentences that you've already written. So my editor became a very, very close friend, and she edited what I had already written, but it was turning words around, turning sentence around, things like that.
So losing your child is a big pain, and it's very unique to just parents. And it was your reality. How was the writing process? Were there moments that you just wanted to scrap it? You just didn't want to do it anymore because of the pain? What was that like?
Well, that's interesting because it is bringing up the pain of it all. And I frankly feel like my grieving process has not actually kicked in yet. And I'm still writing about the story. It was very difficult to write because of that, because you go over and over again when you're writing. You get it edited, and then you edit some more, and then you edit some more. So it was in my face all the time. And for that reason, I struggled. But to tell you the truth, I didn't stop writing. I wrote every day at least a sentence, you know, one sentence a day, and I used my journal to, you know, guide me.
Do you think that writing this was somewhat therapeutic for you?
Absolutely. What happened that was therapeutic was the reality of it became very, very clear. And up to that point, everything had been juggled in my mind, like, oh my God, he was at the embassy. He was in a slum area, lived in the slum area, and it was just very acknowledged all the things that he went through and what we went through, my husband and I. And so that part was very good and therapeutic, but it was also really tough to bring up, really, really hard to bring up.
Thank you for answering that. You mentioned your husband and the father of your son, Jack, and your husband, Dan, they're referred to in the book. If either one of them were to write this book, how different do you think it would turn out?
My husband's rendition is very similar to mine. So he has spoken to me before about the book. I have asked him, and I asked him the whole time I was writing, did this really happen? And he always said, yep, this really happened. So he had the same memories that I have. I know his type of writing would be different, but the process that we went through during this episode was very similar to my husband. But my ex-husband, Sean's biological father, couldn't figure it out. He really stumbled the whole time. He was against therapy and just couldn't figure it out. And afterwards, when he read the book, even though he and I don't have a friendly relationship, he told me that my book answered so many questions for him that he just could not imagine what Sean actually did. So he bought 3 copies of it to give to friends and family, and I was very honored that he would do that and take the book very seriously.
Reading how you described him, I guess that's not something I would have expected. And you talk about him kind of denying therapy and not believing in that or not supporting that. I know you described your own family in denial of your son's mental health. Has anything changed since publishing the book? Have you heard anything at all?
During the writing the book, I wrote about my brothers in their denial of what was happening. And because of that, I ended up being divided from my brothers because they couldn't grasp what was actually happening with Sean. Sean was very articulate on how he spoke. He was very personable. And I found out later that schizophrenia has periods of wellness and then the relapse. So the wellness is what Sean portrayed to his uncles. So now that I look back, I think maybe they should have been referred to as an audience because they were in the dark. And I didn't realize that until really the last 6 months that they had no clue at all. They just didn't know. It hit them on the head and they just couldn't respond appropriately. And I'm still at odds with them. I'm starting to text with one of my brothers. My other brother and I it's just terrible. It's just awful. And he's made the comment recently that I was psychologically impaired and that I wrote everything out of being psychologically impaired because I have bipolar illness and everything is blamed on me for my bipolar illness with this one brother. So things have not changed for my brothers as far as believing me. I feel like the little sister that nobody believes, and that was very difficult for me.
I'm very sorry about that, and thank you for opening up. That is an extremely important topic about mental health and with families that don't believe in that. This book brings awareness on drug use, mental disabilities, and grief. Do you think it could be educational as well, used as some kind of textbook in a psychology class?
Yes, I think it would be very helpful for a grief class or a grief and healing class and a psychology class because there is no awareness or very little awareness of what schizophrenia is and how it presents. There are other books that available, but they're all written as if a doctor would write them. There's no emotional quality at all. There is one that has an emotional quality, which I'm reading now, and it's very similar to describing the mindset of somebody who is schizophrenic. And it also describes how the mother handles the mental illness.
It is really important to be aware of these things. I took a feminist disability ethics class and I learned a lot about how there's stigma around people with mental disabilities such as schizophrenia and bipolar disorder.
One of the other topics I wanted to address is the stigma around the word schizophrenia. And we didn't believe when finally a doctor diagnosed him that he could possibly have that. Schizophrenia is the worst word that you can be labeled. And consequently, we were in denial about the word, and we continued to think he was bipolar. But eventually, we had to realize that he had schizophrenia.
For other parents of children with mental disabilities, what advice could you give them?
My main advice is to get them into therapy as soon as you can, hopefully when they're young and able to be willing to go into therapy. As they get older, like my son got older, he refused to go to therapy, thought therapists were stupid. Part of that was because he was so really, really smart. He thought everybody was stupid. So early diagnosis is the most important thing. And being aware and educated about schizophrenia or any mental illness is half the battle, because we didn't believe it. We didn't know what was happening. We didn't didn't treat him soon enough. If we had treated him when he was in grammar schools, he would have been used to going to a therapist, or he would be more willing to take medications, because his paranoia came very early in age. And I just kicked myself for not, he was in therapy, but I was so out of it in my own denial that it didn't help the situation at all. So early diagnosis is very important.
What are your thoughts? I know you're very adamant about diagnosis. What is your thoughts on education, teaching, not even just in the classroom, but changing your language, changing your attitude towards the general public who do have mental disabilities?
Well, interesting enough, people are becoming aware of mental illness. For example, bipolar illness is out in the public now. And, it's like famous actors and actresses are coming out with the fact that they have bipolar illness, which is so helpful because they're so competent and awesome in their movies. There is a news announcer, too, and she's just really into her job and her wellness. So all this mental illness is being talked about and slowly understood. Movies have been made, books have been written. When we were going through it, there was very little awareness of the mental illness. So I think that being aware of it is like the most important thing for healing both the parents and the child, because it's just very, very important.
Thank you so much for answering these questions. I know it was tough and it's an extremely important topic and just something so sensitive. I appreciate your transparency throughout this show, and it was an honor to have you on. Do you want to shout anything out, anything like your website or any events you're going to about your book?
I do a lot of events, and they are so helpful. I have had people come up to me afterwards in tears talking about an aunt or an uncle or a brother or a sister. There's more mental illness out there than anybody can imagine. And each time I speak about it, I learn more about the awareness now and the drugs that are being utilized.
Thank you so much for being on. This was Creasing Corners with DJ Moco. Thank you for listening.